Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke with Let's Talk Art. Today I'm talking art with Molly Merson, and she's formerly of the Gallery Crom in New Jersey. We're talking about her beautiful Liars exhibition, which happened at the Gallery Proto, the Proto Gallery, also in New Jersey. This exhibition is actually over, but when I heard about it, it sounded so intriguing that I had to get a recap. Enjoy. We are still in the process of lining up sponsors for Let's Talk Art with Brooke, but in the meantime, if you'd like to support the podcast, please look for my book, Reptiles on Caffeine, on Amazon. Enjoy the podcast. Hi, I'm talking with Molly Merson about the Beautiful Liars exhibit. It's going on in Hoboken, New Jersey. Hey, Molly, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you, Brooke?
Doing good. Doing good. Now, you are in D.C. right now. What's going on there?
Well, I'm doing a studio visit with an artist, Sheila Kreider.
Mm-hmm.
We're preparing for our next exhibition at Prota Gallery that is called Menage. And she is one of the three artists showing her work there.
Cool.
So.
Cool. So, and where are you from?
Originally?
Yes.
Originally, I'm from Latvia.
Ah, very cool. I actually know where that is, so I'm...
You are one of the very few in my experience.
Cool. So what brought you to America?
Well, the whole family left the country when it was still part of the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
And we came initially to Toronto, and then we moved to New York. So, and that happened in 1989, so
wow.
It was quite a long time ago.
Yeah. That's exciting. That's really exciting. So how did you get into art?
How did I get into art? It was, I think when I was about 25, I started collecting art.
Mm-hmm.
That was quite a few years ago.
Right.
And then I opened my first gallery in Beacon, New York.
Uh-huh.
And after that, gallery closed, which was in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing art fairs, mostly European art fairs.
Mm-hmm.
And then 4 years ago, I opened Gallery Molly Crom on the Lower East Side.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually 3.5 years ago.
Right.
And then in January of this year, we had to move out because the rent went up, the
right.
usual story.
Right.
And yes. And it was about the same time when Nick DiPiro, who is the owner of Prota Gallery, where Beautiful Liars took place,
mm-hmm.
Suggested that I curate an exhibition at his space. And I was very happy about his offer because Nick has created a truly unique space in Hoboken.
Mm-hmm.
It's in New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
And not only in terms of physical qualities of the space, which are spectacular,
mm-hmm.
but also in how exciting his program has become in the last 4 years since he opened the gallery.
Right.
So Prota is the name of the gallery, and this gallery is gradually becoming the place to be not only for artists, but also for the curators and art lovers and collectors.
Right.
So for me to curate an exhibition in this place was really a great opportunity.
Right.
So that's
right.
how it happened.
Oh, that's really exciting. So I read about the Beautiful Liars exhibition, and I was just fascinated. I just want to know everything about it. Like, how did you develop it? Are you the creator of it?
Yes. I think that's who curator is.
Right.
But what happened was, Beautiful Liars is an unusual exhibition for me. First of all, it's the first exhibition in 3 years that I've curated outside of my own state.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, usually, although I try to avoid using a formula when I curate an exhibition, but usually I start with an image. I have sort of a library of images, and I look at them, and I think of them, and then I come up with an idea for exhibition. So,
right.
But Beautiful Liars was very different.
Mm-hmm.
In that it started with an idea,
mm-hmm.
or rather several ideas that I was ruminating about for a while.
Right.
And the central idea for me was the role that visual art plays, these days in influencing people's opinion about history, about contemporary events. And another thought was about art being a source of information about certain events. So I actually listened to your podcast quite recently about the Soviet photography of the 1920s and 1930s.
Oh, cool.
And the role it played in promoting early Soviet propaganda and how effective this tool was in the hands of the totalitarian government.
Yeah.
So I think currently this is really not a possibility. I mean, art clearly lost its position as an influencer of public opinion, and mass media took over. So we're really showered with facts and information that doesn't leave too much room for reflection. I mean, it causes a lot of anxiety and panic, and we have a lot of perhaps information, but it doesn't leave much room for reflection.
Right.
So all these thoughts led me to think about the role of artists as a witness to the events that perhaps he did not see, but he becomes a witness through his or her imagination. So that's how it started. So I approached the six artists of this show with this idea, and we selected the work that speaks about concrete historical events and also about the history of human trauma in more sort of abstract terms.
Right.
And it was sort of roughly divided half and half. Three artists presented work that has to do with very specific events, and three artists presented work that is speaks more abstractly about the human history and trauma and recovering.
Right, right.
So
cool. Well, how did you pick these artists? They're all females, right?
Yeah, so I worked as a gallerist. I worked with three of the six artists. I worked with Suzanne Goldenberg, and she actually had a brilliant solo show at the gallery in September of September of last year. I also worked with Katarina Marcelja and with Lorenzo Wolfish. Actually, when you first wrote to me, I was in Buenos Aires doing the studio visit with Lorenzo Wolfish.
Right, right.
So so I worked with these three artists before, and I knew Paz Perlman, Lynn Umlov, and Tatiana Stomina from studio visits, from seeing their exhibitions on a personal basis. So it kind of came together in my mind rather organically.
Right, right. Yeah, that's so exciting. This is just so...
It was a wonderful show. It closed actually on April 3rd. But it ran from February 20th. So it was a wonderful show in a great space. I'm very happy with it.
Right. Now, did I read correctly that it showed in two places, the Gallery Crom, which I think is your gallery, and the other one, the Proto Gallery?
No, it showed in Proto Gallery, because by then Gallery Crom was closed. But Gallery Crom is mentioned because I am the curator.
Got it. So cool. So is there any chance that it might be traveling, like, say, to Charlotte?
Well, first of all, thank you for that idea. It really did not occur to me, and when you sent me an email, I thought, why not?
Yeah.
So we are looking into it, and I'll definitely let you know if it does travel.
Cool. But I wanted to talk about the exhibition a little bit. It says in the, I guess, the press release, memory is a battleground between imagination and facts. As historians of our own lives, we appear inattentive and can barely distinguish between things that actually took place and those we'd like to believe were happening. I think that's so true. How much of our memories are like real or imagined? I think that's fascinating.
Well, memory is a funny thing. Not only we choose what we remember in a way and repress what we don't want to remember,
right. But
also every time we retrieve the memory, every time we actually remember and speak about the event, mm-hmm. when we put that memory back into our storage, mm-hmm. it goes back in a completely new shape and form.
Uh-huh.
It gets transformed every time we retrieve that piece of memory of information. So memory is a very kind of fragile and constantly developing thing.
Right.
So to trust our memory about a particular event is a brave...
Exactly, exactly. Especially my memory. I have no memory anymore. So yeah, that's so true. And it's so funny because like different people will latch on to different things. So they can be describing the same event like five different ways with just, you know, five different emphases. And it's just crazy.
Well, one of the kind of steps that I decided to take with this particular show is that I completely abandoned any text or any explanation for each of the artwork. I mean, other than in the press release. But mm-hmm. in the show itself, we had the names of the artists and the title of the exhibition and the statement by Pierce, but nothing else. And I did it on purpose. It was very tempting to provide the explanation
right. And
to sort of guide the visitors through the events and the background of each piece and the meaning of it.
Right.
But I decided against this because I really wanted the visitor to create his or her own story about the event.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because, for example, with the work of Tatiana Istomina, who is a Russian-born artist, she mm-hmm. lives in New York, and she presented work that is based on the archival footage and archival photographs from the Soviet times of the 1920s mm-hmm. and 30s. And the work is conceptually fantastic work, but we had several visitors who were Russian immigrants mm-hmm. and they knew about the history, and yet when they looked at her work, they presented a story that was completely
and that
part was really what I was after. I wanted
right.
the visitor to immerse in that historically based information, but to create through their own imagination a completely different story for themselves.
Right. Yeah, I think that's so cool. That's daring, I guess. Just kind of like that. You want I feel like so many artists and writers want to kind of guide their audience, like in what to think. And I think that's so great that you let them come to their own conclusions or their own interpretations.
It was a risk that I was taking because not only the writers and the artists would like to guide the public to make them understand what is it that they meant, but also the public wants to be guided most of the time.
Exactly.
It's much more comfortable to be oriented
right.
to what you see, to what you know. But I think that the true visual experience goes beyond that well-formulated thought. I'm not sure if I'm expressing myself clearly.
No, you totally are, and I completely agree with you. I think, yeah. Yeah, I don't think the public would readily admit that they, you know, prefer to be guided. But I think mm-hmm. deep down, I think that's probably, it's definitely more comfortable.
Yes.
So, yeah, I completely, completely agree. I wanted to talk about some of the artwork, some of the paintings or the works. Like Middleway, I looked at that online what was going on there? Like, what, explain that to me.
Tell me again which artwork. The Middleway?
Middleway, yes.
Yeah. So it was a work by Paz Perlman. Mm-hmm. She's an Israeli artist who currently lives in New York, and she uses mostly discarded materials.
Mm-hmm.
And her idea is of resolving her own personal traumatic experience of living through several wars in Israel and immigration and personal fractured past. She sort of brings out that very personal suffering and makes an artwork that reflects that, that helps her to heal. So Middleway is sort of an attempt to escape. The way, again, this is my interpretation.
Right.
And I'm sure that the artist may have a somewhat different interpretation.
Right.
And I think it's fine. But
right.
Since I'm the one
who... Since you're the star right now.
My understanding with the teeth. So I think Middleway is really an attempt to escape from the past and perhaps a repetitive failure to do so.
Yeah.
And then being forced to deal with that past, as fragmented as it may be, and trying to put it together. So that's how I read that piece. The piece is elegant and fragile and just a wonderful artwork.
Right, right. Now, were there any guidelines that you had? Like when you picked the artist, can you produce or contribute pieces that have this and this and this, these characteristics? Or was it just like, we want you to produce some art for our show? And...
No, I knew the general direction of each artist,
mm-hmm.
Because, again, I saw their work before, I spoke to them before, so it was a matter of choosing the work
right.
during the studio visits, and... I think Paz Perlman was the only artist who actually created some additional work for this exhibition.
Uh-huh.
But Lynn Umlauf showed her work that she started doing in 1993. Florencia showed the work from 2 years ago. It was a stunning piece of contemporary fiber art, sort of an embroidery on cotton, that spoke about the disappearances during the last military dictatorship in Argentina.
Uh-huh.
Really a haunting piece.
Yeah.
Katerina Marcelja had some work that I knew that I thought could be perfect. We did have a fight with Katerina because she presented the work that was called Threshold, and I insisted that this is a guillotine, referring to the French Revolution, and she completely denied it. So at the end, we decided to call it the truth. But but that's a perfect example of really witnessing certain things through imagination, and imagination is that of your own.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, totally. I had a quote and I just lost it. Let me try to find it. Let's see. Yeah. I guess we're talking about her. It's Katerina Marcella?
Marcella. Yes.
It says the histories she unravels are found, inherited, and imagined. They come together from a meandering in a landscape of emotional recollections. The materials she selects had a previous life contributing to that landscape. I think that's great, and I think that's I totally get that.
Mm-hmm. So do I. her work is extremely multi-layered,
mm-hmm.
and to me, in most of her pieces, not all, but most of her pieces, it's as if the personal experience repeats the history.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite interesting. So let's say the same Threshold piece that for me is a reference to the French Revolution,
mm-hmm.
for her it's a very personal attempt to get away from something, to sort of draw a line and cross that line and an attempt to get away. So, you know, there is an expression in biology that ontogenesis repeats phylogenesis. It's a complicated phrase, but it basically means that our personal development repeats an evolutionary development.
Right.
So it translates very much into Katerina's work,
mm-hmm.
that each of her pieces could be read as a very personal encounter, but at the same time, it has layers and layers of historical information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I can totally see that. That's yeah. Well, I was wondering. So you saw a guillotine, but what does she see?
Say it again. I'm sorry.
Since you saw her work and kind of saw a guillotine or referenced a guillotine, what did she see? What is her interpretation of it?
Her interpretation, she called it a threshold. So okay. Her interpretation is that it's sort of a line that is being drawn rather violently between what was in the past and what is it that she's trying to achieve.
Uh-huh.
She's trying to sort of crawl away from the past that she does not want anymore. So for her, it's a very personal piece.
Uh-huh.
And when I said, listen, it's a guillotine, she said, no, I cannot believe you can see that in this piece. And I look at it, and it's clearly
a guillotine. And it's right there.
Yeah, it's right there, exactly. So for her, it was, again, it was a very personal interpretation.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I think we're so funny with our own personal interpretations. We just kind of latch onto them, and we just kind of hold so fast to them that we're like, why can't you see it? So exactly.
Well,
so
that's why it's called our own.
Exactly, exactly. So yeah, I just think this is so great. I love this.
Well, thank you. I'm really happy that, first of all, that you knew about the exhibition. Secondly, that you thought that it's good enough to talk about. I loved it.
Yeah.
I know that I'm biased.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. Because, I'm just looking at all these quotes, and they're so... was it Perlman? She says, making art allows me to get intimate with what I have repressed in my unconscious. The void is inexpressible through words alone. My artistic practice allows me to bypass my rational mind and reach directly into the unseen. And that's
exactly,
yeah,
that's pretty much a summary of what I was trying to achieve.
Right.
We are actually having another exhibition at Prada Gallery that opens on the 11th of June.
Uh-huh.
And it's called Menage.
Uh-huh.
I'll make sure that I'll send you the images
and
the press release, because it promises to be a remarkable show about our relationship. A small topic about the relationship between a man and a nature.
A man and a what?
And nature.
And nature. Yeah.
A very narrow, very small and specific topic.
Cool. Yeah, we'd love to do another podcast on that one. That's
I'd love to.
This sounds great. Yeah, so did you you thought of this as your creation as well, the man in nature one?
Yes, I thought of it. I mean, for a while, always thought, you know, it's interesting what a wonderful big space does to your imagination as a curator.
Yeah.
Because the Molly Crum Gallery was a wonderful, quaint space. It's an expression to be used by the real estate agents.
Uh-huh.
So it was very small. I mean, we had some great exhibitions there. But when Nick asked me to curate some shows at his space, my imagination just started running wild.
Yeah.
So I came up with some ideas, and Beautiful Liars and Menage are the two exceptions that I'm really very happy about. I mean, I hope that Menage will come out the way I have it in my mind.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful to Nick for giving me this opportunity. He's really a wonderful gallerist.
Cool. And he owns the Proto Gallery, right?
He is an owner of the Proto Gallery, and he's in Hoboken, New Jersey.
Right. Now, did you say that you did not live in New Jersey? Where do you live?
I actually moved to Jersey City a few years ago.
Cool.
So, not that far from the gallery. It's a nice place to be.
Right.
I lived in the city. I lived in Midtown for a few years, and then I moved.
Uh-huh. Cool. I've been through it. I've never, like, really stayed for an extended time.
well, perhaps this upcoming exhibition will be reason enough for you to come and visit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very cool. Well, thank you so much, Molly, for talking to me.
Well, it's a great pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. If you're in the New Jersey area, check out the Proto Gallery. The exhibition is over, but I'm sure they've got a lot of cool stuff. And also, you want to be on the lookout for the Minaj exhibition. If you're interested in having us promote your product or service, if you have a comment, if you have ideas for future podcasts, or would like to be on the show yourself, please contact me at arttalkwithbrooke@gmail.com. That's all one word and Brooke with an E. Thanks for listening.